All right, welcome to Inside Independent Publishing. I'm your host, Christopher Locke, and I'm also the IBPA member liaison. All right, so one of the biggest issues independent publishers and author publishers want help with is marketing their books. So naturally, we here at the podcast want to help everyone out there. So today we're going to discuss how to land media opportunities. And specifically, we're going to be talking about how to land television, podcast, online print articles, and maybe even radio if we have time. And who better to talk to than someone who runs a book publicity firm? So please welcome our guest, founder and president of FSB Associates, Fawzia Burke.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Christopher. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, well, I'm excited because I love talking to experts and you are the person to talk to about this. So I wanted to start with kind of general questions about all of them. So between television, print, online articles, podcasts, and radio, are there any of these that's like, quote unquote, better that helps you garner exposure for your books?
Oh, such a good question. Okay, so what I will say is that you need to think about the whole media landscape when you are approaching a publicity campaign. You have to think about your own goals, and you have to think about really realistically what's possible for you, right? So all of those things kind of play into talking about the hierarchy of media. So for example, when I'm talking to, let's say, academics, right? For them, the central most important aspect of publicity for them is getting book reviews in publications, periodicals, journals, newspapers, things that they respect. And so that's their top priority. It's not to be on TV, you know? So it's important to know your goals and align them with what's possible in publicity. So it isn't really, one is your goal, what matches your goal? And then the second, is that really a reasonable expectation for you? So those are two things that you have to think about. Same thing with, there are some business authors, especially the Silicon Valley ones. And for them, the top priority is being on as many podcasts as possible. For them, that's the audience that they are trying to be in front of. They feel like that's the audience that resonates most with their messaging. It's more important to them than anything else. In fact, sometimes they'll come to me and go, wait, are people still trying to get on TV? Like, it's not even in their thought process. But if you are a influencer and you are a best-selling author, and yes, TV is then very important. The priorities change depending on the author's goals. The other thing that I really want to set up right away is expectations. So the fact that, you know, you have to kind of know there's a media landscape and there's a media hierarchy. And so if you've written literary novel, a literary fiction, you're competing with people who have written with Knopf, Scribner, FSG. That's literary publishing is generally those three, let's say, big brands. So if you are competing with media that is also trying to cover them, it's harder, right? You're going to have to sort of like really prove that your book is as good as their book, because the bias for that media is that those books come out, like really good books come out of those imprints. So if you're an independent publisher, you're competing in that league. You've got, I mean, I know Angela talks about, you know, making sure that book looks great and is good and is edited. And also, you know, you can play in the big leagues, but you also have to understand the bias of the media. And so keeping your expectations in line with what is possible will create better experiences for you, because you're not then trying to get something that may be much more difficult. I'll tell you an example. It was so funny. I had a client who came to me and he said, can you get my book on Gap.com, on the homepage of Gap.com? And I thought, Gap.com, like the jeans company? And he said, yeah. And I was like, there are no books on Gap.com. And he was like, I know, but my audience is perfect for that, the people who are going to Gap.com. And I thought, if they've never covered a book, the fact that yours will be the first one they put on their homepage is so unlikely. And so you're setting yourself with expectations that just cannot be met, not with the publicist, not by you, not by anybody. So aligning your goals and your expectations in line with what is possible. Yes, you can always have an anomaly. You can always do better than expected. But those two things will help you really get the publicity you want without feeling like you're being disappointed.
What if I tattoo the cover of my book on my face? Now that sounds like a million-dollar idea. Just throwing that out there.
Oh my God, Christopher, I could spend half an hour on just the client's ideas. I could tell you one more.
Okay.
One of my clients had the idea that he would climb on top of the building in Village in New York City. It was the first Apple building, the first cube, you know, and he was going to get on top of that with a bullhorn and tell people who are walking by about his book.
Well, he could land in jail, which is publicity, but not necessarily for books.
Exactly.
One thing I want to ask about, because this is, you know, for independent publishers and author publishers, when you're trying to land an opportunity, the indie publisher, they're trying to land it for their author, or do they expect authors to go out and land these opportunities? Like, who's the kind of doing that role?
So in traditional publicity people, right, there's a publicity department within a publishing house, and they do some of the publicity. And even then, majority of the authors feel like if they can afford it, they would rather have their own PR people. Because a publisher is not in the public, and I used to work in a publicity department, so I have a lot of sympathy for those people. The thing is, when you're in a publicity department, you're not only working on your current books, which are more than enough to keep you busy, you're working on the books that were published, because you're, you know, an author who published last year is still, you're still his publisher, you're still his publicist. So they're still calling you, you're still looking at the list that's upcoming. You know, there's a lot of competing priorities. So within the in-house people, it's hard to do everything. And so you hire outside people. With an independent publisher, majority of them don't have a publicity person in-house. Some of them do. They have one person trying to do all the publicity. But there are certain things that should be an author's responsibility. So for example, an author should make sure that they are PR ready. That's something they have to do on their own. And sometimes that kind of gets missed when people are talking about publicity, is that authors need to, just like when, you know, when IBPA talks about making sure that the book is competing with other books and it looks good and it's professionally published, all of that, the author has to do that too. So you want to make sure that the author has a website that's professional looking, that they have a mailing list, they have social media. These are things that the media will look at too, to see who they want to cover. Because media has a priority as well in terms of what they want. They want more traffic. They want more views. They want an interesting author. They want an author who can bring traffic to them, just like a bookstore does. So all of those things are important for the author to do on their own. And then the publicity, really, if the publisher has someone, they can do it. It's always better to have your own team, because they focus on you and not every book that the publisher publishes.
So let's kind of break them down then. Let's start with television. So in terms of what opportunities there are on television, first thing I thought of was like morning shows, maybe talk shows. But am I missing something, or are those good, or what should people look for TV?
So TV is probably one of the hardest, not, you know, places to get. And for the longest time, it was actually the most sought after, right? Everybody was trying to get on the Today Show, or everybody was trying to get on the morning shows, because they used to have a very clear sales trajectory. So you get on the Today Show, you definitely saw a blip on your sales, right? So everybody was trying to get on to those shows. That has tapered off some. That's not always the case. Just because you're on TV does not mean your book sells like crazy. So it's not something where you're like, oh, this is one and done, right? We get on and we're done. The other thing to think about is that TV has, yes, there's the national shows, right? The Today Show and shows like that that are national. And then there are the local shows. You have a better likelihood of getting on a local show than a national show. For a national show, they're looking for a national guest. Generally, a guest that can be, you know, has a lot of experience, has a way to drive traffic to that segment. All of the has been on TV before. That's a really important thing. They want to make sure that it's someone who is media trained, is polished. You know, you don't see people who are like on TV, right? They're polished. They are ready to go. They've been media trained. So the producers are looking for someone who's at that level. So if you are at that level, then yes, absolutely. But if it's your first TV outing, you're not going to get the national TV. So setting yourself up for those expectations are going to hurt. But local TV is a lot better way to get in. And in fact, if you've never done any kind of video, doing video podcasts is great because then you can say, I did this, this is how I was. You can send it to the next level up. They can then get that interview, then like literally climb a ladder, right? You can't go straight to the top. You want to show people that you're good on video, that you can handle yourself. And then you get invitation to do more. So that's sort of how TV works. It's not, and you have to work with the producers sometimes way in advance, way 6 months in advance of your book's publication date, because they're looking for upcoming books, for sure.
So this right now is my interview, and one day I'll be on the Good Morning America. Good to
I
know.
I think you're ready. I think you're, all right. You're definitely ready.
I did it. I did it, Mom. Yes. So I wanted to ask then, in terms of landing those opportunities, like, and I know you have a vested interest. I'm just wondering, like, you know, you run a book publicity firm. So do you need to have a publicist to get in that door, or can like indie publishers, author publishers get to the people that then get them on those shows?
A lot of the like TV producers, you really need to have and know someone who can get a meeting with them, get their attention. So yes. But I do a lot of digital PR, which I hope we can talk to because that's my favorite part. But the digital PR is actually something that you can do yourself. Now, you do need to know how to do it. And you do want to make sure, I mean, a publicist is always going to be better at it because this is all we do. And we have people on what's called, you know, the equivalent of speed dial. People will respond to us because we've worked with them before. We've sent them good people before. They trust us. They don't have a lot of time to go through. A media editor, whether it's TV, radio, online, anything, probably gets 300 to 400 pitches a day.
Wow.
A day. Wow. Via email, some by phone. It's a lot to go through. And so a lot of times when people ask me, oh, what's the subject line that you use? And I have to tell them, you know, you put in enough time, it's not the subject line, it's actually who it's from that gets the email opened, right? Mm. So there isn't like a nifty way to get in through 400 emails. Yes, you can get lucky, but having someone who's had that relationship helps a lot. Some independent authors and publishers, I think it's really helpful when they publish within a genre. So whether it's nonfiction or fiction, they start to build a little bit of a rapport within the industry, within that media infrastructure for their book. So for example, if they write romance, then they start to get to know the community that covers romance and they build a relationship, they follow them on social media. There's an advantage to publishing within a niche. If a publisher is a general interest publisher, that's harder because, you know, one day you're publishing, especially the ones that also publish children's books. So sometimes you're pitching someone for a children's book, then you're pitching someone for a novel, then you're pitching someone for nonfiction. All that put together can be a challenge because, you know, you've got to have a little bit of a focus to build relationships because sometimes, for example, even for us, we may work on, let's say, a career development book, right? But then we may not have another career development book to work on for another, let's say, 4 months. So for 4 months, we're not getting in touch with the people who cover career development. It's hard then to come back. It's not as hard because we've had that relationship built in. But for other people, it would be harder to say, oh, I haven't published a book in this topic for a year. Let me go back and talk to these people. But if you're publishing one every 2 months, you get to know those people, they get to know you, they have a little rapport with you, they understand you. So there is definitely a benefit in terms of publicity and marketing for people to publish within a limited spectrum in terms of what they're publishing. There is a benefit there. There's no doubt about it. You don't have to do it because maybe you have, you know, you want to publish whatever you feel like publishing, but that makes publicity harder because you don't really build a brand within a certain community.
In terms of pitching, so one thing I've heard a lot is like, you not necessarily the publication of your book isn't necessarily the news. It's more that you tie in your subject matter to something happening in the news. So is that correct? I mean, is that generally how you should try to like kind of get in with these types of interviews? That's your kind of angle.
Depends on who you're targeting. So for example, if you're going after the news media, you've got to have a news hook. Just the fact that you've published a new book is not a news hook for them. But if you're going after people who review new novels on historical fiction, then the fact that you have a new book in historical fiction may be enough of a story. So it really depends on who you're trying to target.
So then, all right, well, let's kind of shift then a little bit to, by the way, is there anything I'm missing with TV? We have to rush through these, but is there anything that is big that you're like, why didn't we talk about that?
No, and not a particularly big expert on TV anyway, because it's, okay. I mean, I've been around publicity, but it's not my specialty for sure.
Okay. So then I'll ask you, which would you rather do next then, podcasts or print online articles?
You know, there's obviously overlap on all of it. My company's, what we're best known for is digital campaigns. So I would rather talk about online and tell people what that means in terms of what they can do and things like that. I'm happy to talk about print, but it's again, you know, my specialty is online. So let's talk about podcasts. But before that, let's talk about what online publicity means, what digital publicity means. Because from my perspective, there's the traditional publicity media, and then there's the online media. And yes, there's overlap, and the media is very porous these days, so things are going back and forth. But in general, there are two buckets. And the way you approach to both of those is different. The way the timing is different. So it's hard to do talk about all of them at the same time. So I'll focus on the thing I know, which is the digital side. So the benefit of the digital publicity is that, first of all, there isn't that hierarchy that is available in traditional media. So traditional media is really more traditional. they are looking at more traditionally published books or traditionally published authors and things like that. The independent authors are kind of mavericks, right? They're making their own, they're charting their own courses. They're making creative decisions. Their books may not fit in with a format that is traditional. They might mix two genres up. They might do a lot of different things. And so the online community tends to be much more approachable and also much more willing to see those things. So what I tell people is that as opposed to a print reviewer, which is a professional reviewer, right? That's their job. And in some ways they're paid to find things that are wrong with a book. Like that's their job. They can't be like, it was fabulous. Everything was fabulous. On the other hand, online, the people who review books are actually fans. Mm. So it's a very different kind of review. It's definitely much more celebratory. They're much more interested in celebrating what worked and what didn't work. So I think that's a big difference in terms of like what to expect online. And then online, there's a lot more media. There's a lot of bloggers. There's a lot of podcasters. There are now people on TikTok. Who are called book talk people who review books on video. There are people on Instagram who are called bookstagrammers. They review books. There are people on YouTube. They're called YouTubers and they review books, booktubers. There are blogs and websites and newsletters, and there's so much available online that it's a great first step for independent authors. Because if you go straight for the Atlantic, you're going to feel disappointed. It's a hard road. But if you go for people who are, cover the type of books that you're covering, but online, you're going to have a much better shot at it. So that I will say just in terms of expectations. The other thing is that an author can absolutely do some of the publicity work themselves if they have the contacts. So if you have a neighbor who writes for the local paper, you have a better shot of getting in that local paper than a publicist who is in a different town. So leverage the existing networks that you have. That's really important. Ask your friends, do you know people in the media? Do you know someone who has a podcast? Do you know someone? Ask your association. Is there a way that you can give us a list of podcasts that other people have been on? Then here's a little bit of a hack that I hope people will use.
which is that if you have a book that you want to promote online, think about a book that did well, not astronomically well. You don't want to compare yourself to Harry Potter. You know, compare yourself to a book that is in line with where you are and slightly above, or a little bit above, right? And then when you do a search for that book, don't just do a search for, you know, book reviews for historical fiction, because you're going to get overwhelming amount of stuff. But, and also make sure that the book is about a year or two before yours. So it's not something that came out 10 years ago. It's a recent book. Then what I want you to do is go into Google, search for that title within with quotation marks around it. So Google will look for that exact phrase and put in the author's name in quotation marks, then put in book reviews in quotation mark. And if you do that, you're going to get a list of websites and blogs that reviewed that particular book. And if the people were interested in that book, they are probably more likely to be interested in your book. So being able to pitch people saying, I saw that you covered, you know, XYZ, I have written a book that I think addresses these issues and you can kind of talk about why, I hope you will consider, I'm happy to send you a book. That works. I mean, that will totally work for you, I think. It's just that sometimes authors get a little discouraged because publicity is hard work. Yeah. You could spend 8 hours pitching your book and get 2 responses back. And they're shocked by that, but that's kind of our day job. That's kind of what happens to us too. We can spend sometimes a couple of days pitching a book, not get much response. And then at that time, we have to reframe our pitch. We have to rethink the audience. We have to kind of restart. There's a lot of things that we can do to pivot, but a lot of authors just sort of stop there and say, oh, nobody cares about my book. No, it could be the pitch. It could have been that you're aiming for the wrong audience. It could be that you've written a book, let's go back to that, career development book, but you're pitching people who do marketing.
Yeah.
It's not a fit. There's a lot of reasons why it may not be working, but you can absolutely do it yourself if you do it smart, in a smart way. So one of my books, I thought I had a copy nearby, called Online Marketing for Busy Authors, actually my only book, but IBPA carries it in your bookstore, has a chapter on do-it-yourself publicity. And so I lay out the steps that people can take to, if they're going to do it themselves, just follow some of those, that advice. Cause I think you just have to know what to do. You can't just be, you know, asking for, you're trying to get on the Today Show.
If you go to store on the IBPA website, that's where you'll find then, things for publishers and publisher partner and all that. But under publishers, you'll find the IBPA store and you'll find, your book. Great. So in that, when you're reaching out to them, is there something that they're looking for? Like, do you need to include like a packet, that kind of stuff? Or do you look less professional if you don't have something like that? Like, what are they looking for when you're pitching to them?
So I think it's important for you to have maybe some information for the media on your website. So a press release, maybe. Again, I don't believe in a press release, but it does make you look more professional. I stopped doing press releases like 10 years ago because they don't work. For the purpose that I have, it did not work. So you can do some of that, but I don't think you want to send an email to someone with like see attached documents, right? Because a lot of authors will do that sometimes where they have like my big graph, you know, a high res image of my book, high res image of my author photo. A lot of media have firewalls that big files don't get through anyway. So your email doesn't even make it to them if you send giant files. So I think it's important, and this is sort of how I've run my company and how I train my staff, to be respectful of other people's time. And so there are some PR people who feel like just checking that off, like I sent it, great, whether it worked or not. I always feel like, okay, if it's not working, let's see what does work, what works for you. And in my, 25 years of experience, I think what works is being respectful of the person's time. So don't pitch people who don't cover your topic. Just don't do it. It's easy. You can do a mail merge giant list of, you know, 1,000 media people and say, they'll figure out if this book is for them or not. Mm. That's not good. Do the homework. Have a smaller list of people that you are targeting, but make sure that you know why you're targeting them. And then make sure that you tell them why you've targeted them. So if you say, I read your article on, or I read your blog on, I recently read this blog on how we are behaving in supermarkets now with COVID and wearing a mask, what's the protocol? It's just a really lovely way of like, look how like world has changed kind of thing, right? It was really thoughtful. I think if I had a book that was about the changes that we've gone through as a society about with COVID or with any change, any disruption, I would probably say to that editor or journalist or blogger, I read that article, it really touched me. I thought it was really spot on. I'm working on a book that I think you would enjoy reading because it also has XYZ. Connect the dots for people because it's harder to do it that way. It takes longer. It's more time consuming. It's more labor intensive, but it is effective. So it's better to do something that's effective than here's, you know, someone gave me a media list of 1,000 people and I sent them all my press release and that was my media outreach. And it didn't work, you know. That's something that I think you have to be careful about.
Well, before we run out of time, I do want to talk about podcasts. So what we've talked about ways to pitch and all that. Like when you're doing podcasts, is that different than the other ones we talked about? And if so, like what are you doing differently there?
In all honesty, it's not different because you're pitching the same idea, right? So you're covering independent publishers. And so if I pitched you something that was, I don't know, like how to get an agent, you know, you might go, well, my audience is really not that interested in getting an agent, or maybe they are, but you want to make sure that you're connecting the dots for people in terms of the topic. But also, you know, when you're asking people to go on video or a podcast, make sure you've got good sound, make sure you are, you know, you have good lighting. Like these are things that they're going to be looking for. And that's the difference that being on a podcast could make. But otherwise pitching, I would say it's almost the same idea and almost the same way of finding them too.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to add on that is so sometimes like this is a podcast, right? So yes. Sometimes people, I can tell they didn't listen to the podcast because like you were talking earlier, is that they will pitch something like they have a new book and IBPA loves supporting our members' books. We have many ways to market the books, but they will say, I'm an author or I'm an independent publisher. Can you have my author on? And they don't realize like that's not what we do on this show. You know, we have experts like yourself talk about some, you know, field, and then they, you know, give advice to indie publishers. So listen to the podcast, you know, like actually listen to like 4 or 5 episodes and understand their format. Because like you were saying, it's one of those things where you'll get it and you'll be like, it's kind of this weird moment where you're like, God, they don't even listen to it. Like they don't know what, you know, so, you know, it almost like backfires in a way.
Well, that's exactly. Thank you for tying that all together, Christopher, because you're absolutely cool. Because we're talking about it on most 2 different perspectives. And what I'm saying, you kind of crystallized, is that if I'm respectful of your work and your time, you're going to be respectful of my pitch.
Yeah.
Right. If I say to you, Christopher, I listened to the podcast that you did and it was really insightful. I learned a lot. Thank you. I have a book from an author who's written about the writing process and, you know, or something like that where it ties into what you're covering. You're going to be much more likely to read that pitch, even if you don't have the author on. But you're going to turn it off if someone says, I just wrote my historical novel and I'd like you to have me on your show. And you're going to say, why? You know, so being respectful, taking the time, being mindful of who you're pitching, all of those things tie back into respecting. And I think that has served me really well in my company in all ways. And I think if people respect the time of the media, they're going to find better responses back.
Yeah. And I brought up radio, but and this is not a knock to the medium, but is radio still like a thing that people like do? I don't mean, it's just podcasts feel like it's kind of taken over radio.
It really has. And I think that people still have this idea of like the drive time radio segments that people, authors used to do, which I always, always hated. And my authors always hated too, but you just did it because it was the thing to do. But it was one of those things where you show up on a radio, people are chit-chatting, right? And then they give you 2 minutes to kind of like yell out about your book, or they talk about something that has nothing to do with your book, and then you're off. And somehow people are supposed to remember that, think remember your name, remember mm-hmm. your book. None of that happens. In a podcast, it's so much more respectful because there's extra time. You can really talk about your subject. There's a link in the bio. There's a lot of ways that it's a much better format for authors to be on. So radio is a thing, and NPR will always be the gold standard of anything always do, which is a whole other thing. But the drive time radio stuff, I think it is, I mean, it's not working for book sales, that's for sure. It may still be around for talk radio and things like that, but I don't know if it's good for book sales.
Yeah, and interestingly, like things like Fresh Air and all those places, like I actually listen to them as podcasts. So that's really, it's like that, like the whole medium has shifted. It's still radio, but then you're listening to it differently now. So yeah, it's really interesting. I could talk to you for hours and hours about
this. This is so fun.
Yeah, you know so much about this. But before we end, I just wanted to say, is there something I'm missing? Something in terms of about the media landing opportunities that we haven't talked about that you're like, we must discuss this?
As I said, I think one of the things to remember for authors is, are they media ready? There is such a thing. So before you just like, okay, I want to start doing it. Do you have a way? Because the media will check out your website. They will check out your social media. Before they have you on their show or their blog, they're going to check you out. So have you done that work? Have you become media ready? If you're going to be on podcasts, do you have good sound? Do you have good lighting? Do you have a good video? Because it's been, a year and a half into COVID, and you still see people without a good camera, without good lighting, still the forehead shots. And so all of that is kind of part of your media training that you need to do before you're pitching yourself. So be ready first, get yourself ready. Sometimes you can just ask someone for an hour of advice and say, we do that where I can just be like, okay, here are the things you need to make sure you do before. The other thing to know for authors is timing. You can't say, I published my book yesterday, can you have me on your show today? Like, that doesn't work. A lot of how far along are you booked, Christopher? Right? Book in months in advance.
Absolutely.
So if I want to be on your show because it's optimal for me to be on your show in October, I would be pitching you now. Mm-hmm. So pitching people months in advance is really important. So that's something, timing is something that authors somehow forget about. The other thing that I think is really important is being a little bit more discerning in terms of where you're going to be. Yes, there are always anomalies and there's always outlanders who will show up on a big media hit. Majority of the time, you've got to say, okay, this is the type of book I have. This is the type of media I can get. Let's match that instead of like, let's aim for the New York Times, which everyone does. And I know that. Also remember that Oprah, Soul Sunday, she only does a few shows a year. And so the chances that you're going to be on Soul Sunday are probably less likely for most of us. So don't set yourself up for that's my go-to and I've spent all my time trying to get that. And also be mindful if publicity people say they can get that for you. So being practical and being matching your expectations with what is reality, that's a really important thing. And then just making sure that you're respectful of the media. Whether you hire someone and make sure they are respectful, you're doing it yourself, you have a VA, whatever, however you're doing the publicity work, I think being respectful, taking your time will get you the results in the long run. Yes, you can check off like, oh, I sent a press release to 4,000 media people. Sure. How did that work out for you? Probably got nothing back. So be mindful, be respectful. And I think that pays dividends in the long run for sure. Build some relationships.
Well, so first off, I want to thank you for being here. And I also want to tell everyone to definitely check out FSB Associates. I don't think you're listed as a member benefit for IBPA. Just throwing it out there, you might want to get on that, because you clearly know so much. And I want our members to have, I mean, they have access to your services, but it'd be cool to have you as a member benefit. So I'm just throwing it out there.
That would be great. Yeah, I'll look into that for sure. Thank you.
Okay, great. And I also want to mention IBPA does have the IBPA Media Outreach Program, and that's another way to reach journalists, book bloggers. So I'll put a link in that in our notes section. And actually,
great service.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and interestingly, I have two books, and I put my book, my first one in there, and it had been out for 3 years, but I got a podcast interview from that. So yeah, and that was fun. So, and also, if you want to learn more about IBPA, you can visit ibpa-online.org. And I just want to tell you that I, as I said, I could talk to you for hours. You know so much about this, and you are definitely someone that people should, you know, look to for expertise and hopefully work with you. This has been great, and I hope very helpful. Any last words real quick?
Well, I'm going to just give a little plug to our platform called PubSite, which is something for building author websites. And, you know, people think that building a website is expensive, and it used to be. It doesn't have to be. We created PubSite for authors. It's a platform for building websites, and it's just for books and authors. And it's pub-site.com. And I hope that people will feel that, you know, having a professional website is a really key component to their marketing and publicity efforts.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate it. And make sure this is the last Thursday of every month we have the podcast. So please make sure to subscribe. And thank you again, and all the best. And maybe we'll have you back on again, because you know a lot, and we need to know all of it.
Awesome. Thank you, Christopher. I love this community and happy to help. Thank you so much.